Go ahead and tell the truth. I'm not having a problem with it, so. The transcriptionists, they type up what we say for TV, and when they're typing, boy, they kind of take breaks and crack their knuckles, walk a couple laps, come back again. They say, "You talk faster than your dad." I'm sorry. So now, having heard all of that, get ready, okay? Because we're going to take some time and look at a series we're going to be starting. Before we do in your bulletin, I want to make you aware of a couple things. There's a luncheon for the senior saints. If you'd like to be a part of that, the Acts of Random Kindness is providing a luncheon for the senior saints. Please check your bulletin, get them plugged into that. Also in your bulletin is an outline so you can follow along. So when I do talk too fast, you can say, "What'd he say?" And there it is. There's a few blanks in there. You can follow along with me on it. And I want to talk to you this morning about, it's a message I started to work on that kind of worked in, it's going to work into kind of a series, actually called The Principal's Office. I want to talk to you this morning about the principle of pruning. The way this started was, is I started thinking about areas in life that I believe God, you know, "God, what are you speaking to us in Clinton, Iowa? Church of the Open Door, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do?" And I could not get away from this sense of there's some principles that we need to learn, ones that we've heard before, but we need to really learn them. To learn it means not to just know it in your head, but to do it. And these principles are ones that we don't necessarily like to talk about, let alone do them. Who likes to prune? Prune means cut something. And when you hear cut, you equate it to pain. So if I want to avoid pain, avoid pruning. And then we wonder why we don't grow. And we start shaking our fist at God, "Why haven't you blessed me? Why don't you give me? Why am I not involved?" In actuality, God is waiting on us. So we're going to take the next, over a period of time, and I'm going to be doing a little series called The Principal's Office. Have you ever been called into the principal's office? Hey, let me ask this. How many have never been in the principal's office? You're the people I hated in high school, okay? Because I had frequent flyer miles to the principal's office. I got one free lunch built up from all the points I earned going to the principal's office. And I know that's shocking for each and every one of you. It shocked me too, but there I was. And it was a funny thing. He never called me in to tell me how good I was doing. He didn't call me in and said, "I really like your hair today. Good job." You know, he didn't call me in and say, "Your clothes match today, and I just wanted to let you know you're looking sharp." Now, usually when I got called in, it's because I was in what? Yeah, just like you. We're all hit points of trouble. But the reason for being called into the principal's office was because there had to be an authority figure that needed to step in and bring correction to some area of my life, my way of thinking. Maybe it was something I did, something I was planning on doing, or something maybe I haven't even done yet. But they had to make an adjustment, a correction, so that I could succeed more in my education. And there's a few things, you know, over the years, I've been in the principal's office, and I'd love to tell you about all of them, but I'm not going to. But there's a few that, in the midst of it, I thought, you know, nothing good can ever come out of this, going to the principal's office. And here I am, thinking back to when I was in the principal's office, thinking about all the things I learned. And I thought, well, this is a kick in the pants. I said I'd never learn, and here I am learning. And one of the things that we need to learn is God may call us into the principal's office, so to speak, but not in a way to have a judgmental hand or heart that says, "You do this or I'll squash you like a grape." Rather, it's him coming along saying, "I want to bring a change." He's an authority figure. He brings a correction into your life. But have you ever noticed he always does it in such a gentle way? He's just very gentle about it. He didn't say, "You move or else." Now, he may, at times, we may sense that we know we need to move, and if we don't, this is what's going to happen. But when God is leading us to an area or a place or a change in life, he does it in a way that says, "This is the way I have for you. Walk in it. Choice is yours. I'm waiting on you." And then he does just that. He waits on us. And many times we get frustrated. "God, why aren't you doing this?" And he simply would say, "Because you have not moved. I've done everything you need to do. Now you need to do your part." So we're going to talk about the principle of pruning. You can look at Mark chapter 9 with me. I'm going to be going there in Mark chapter 9, verse 43, and sharing a portion of scripture that was confusing to me at one point, but I start to see a little more day by day what God means by this. You know, when I was in high school, I remember I got called to the principal's office because we TP'd one of the teacher's houses. And, you know, that was kind of okay. I mean, his name was Mr. Klotmacher. Okay, and he's the teacher you didn't want to cross lines with, okay? You cross swords with him, you lose every time. But we were just having some fun as we got to know him, and I went to the house, and we started toilet papering the house, but then all of a sudden my friend pulls out a well, he wasn't around my friend, but I was with him, and pulls out white shoe polish. And he starts to write on the stairs, "Hello." Now, you know, white shoe polish written on a home is not a good thing. It's vandalism is what that is. And he started doing that, and I thought, "Well, wait, what are you doing? I didn't sign up for this. Put that away." And he's like, "Oh, no, we're just going to," and he kept on doing it. And I remember running away from that because I didn't sign up for that. I wanted to go TP the house. But the very next day, guess where I got called into? The principal's office. And I thought, how did they find out so soon? You know, I don't make a very good liar anymore. I used to be pretty good at lying, but I remember sitting in that office. And they said, "Jim, what seemed to go on at the house last night?" And I caved like bricks. And I didn't mean to do it. I went, "I'm just going to TP it." And I started telling everything about it. And there was a moment there where he could have squashed me like a grape if he wanted to, but he didn't do that. He decided to teach me some principles. I didn't see it as that at the moment, but later in life I saw where he decided to teach me instead of kill me, which I'm very thankful today, Mr. Klotmacher, if you're watching. He taught us a few things, and I think there's some things that the Lord wants to teach us, some basic things, and one of them is going to be the principle of pruning. Now, you may have woke up this morning and said, "Oh, it's gray out today and it's raining. I don't want to go to church. I want to sleep in, but no, I want to hear what God has to say," and you show up and I start talking about pruning. You're like, "Well, I didn't sign up for that. I wanted to hear about grace and love and joy and how I'm going to prosper, not about pruning." But the truth is you do prosper. You do grow in grace and in peace and in love and in joy when you learn the principle of pruning. We don't like that because what we want is we want the benefits of the pruning process without doing the work of the pruning. And we're going to talk about that more in depth here. God is revealing something to us where he wants to bring a change in our lives so that we can be people that succeed, that prosper, and that do well. But we have to learn this principle of pruning. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, there we are. Mark chapter 9, verse 43, and I'm reading from the Message translation, so it'll sound similar but not the same. It says, "If your hand or your foot gets in God's way, chop it off, throw it away. You're better off maimed or lame and alive than the proud owner of two hands and two feet, godless in a furnace of eternal fire. If your eye distracts you from God, pull it out and throw it away. You're better off one-eyed alive than exercising your 20/20 vision from inside the fire of hell. Everyone's going through a refining fire sooner or later, but you'll be well-preserved, protected from the eternal flames." This portion of Scripture, I used to read this, and all I could see was somebody lopping an arm off, and blood squirting out, you know, or gouge your eye out. I told you a couple weeks ago I was considering LASIK eye surgery. Do you remember that? I thought about it. I'm done thinking about it. It's not going to happen. I can't stand it. I tried practicing touching my eye. You know, I probably look pretty goofy to other people passing by my window at the house. You know, I'm over there going, "Come on, you can do it." I couldn't, though. And I'm thinking about this verse, gouge your eye out. Does he literally mean gouge your eye out? Well, I believe that he might, but even more so, he's talking about the principle of pruning. You see, if we've got a computer in our house and we can't understand why we keep going back to this website, but yet we spend 8 hours on that computer, we shouldn't be surprised that we're stuck in a rut. We need to chop it off. Get off the computer. Some of us, maybe it's an addiction in our life, and we can understand why this addiction still exists to this day, but we have not lopped off every avenue of feeding that. "Well, I want to be sophisticated and classy. I should be able to handle that. I should be able to handle that and know when to say no." And now it becomes an issue of pride. We're proud. We're too proud. "No, I should be able to control this." No, what you should be able to is surrender. Submit to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when he says prune something, prune it. So we're going to talk about this quickly because this verse that we just read really deals with the principle of pruning. Learning to prune wisely in areas, not lopping off arms so you can be a bloody mess. If you had to lop off a body part every time you had a problem, there'd be nothing left of you. There'd be nothing left of me. The issue is learning to apply the principles of pruning. You know, here in the Scriptures, Jesus has just sat down with the disciples and he's discussing with them who's going to be the greatest. Do you remember they sat down and they're talking, you know, who's going to be the greatest now and what's going to happen and what's going to take place? And have you ever walked into a room and it gets real quiet and you know they're talking about you? You ever done that? It's what Jesus does. He shows up and they're like, "Shh, shh, here he is." He knows what they're talking about. I mean, do you really think that when you're hanging around with Jesus, you can keep a secret or hide something? It doesn't work, does it? I mean, even as parents of children, we know when they're screwing around. We know what they're doing. God knows our hearts and the intentions. And he walks in, and, And he says, what is it that you're thinking about? And they're like, oh, nothing. Isn't that just like us as human beings? We love God. We want to serve him. We want to follow him. But what we really want to know is who's going to be first. Who's going to be in control and who's going to be number one? And God uses this moment to teach them. As an opportunity, teaching opportunity, he puts a child in the midst of them and has that child and embraces this child and says, whoever embraces one of these children as I do, embraces me. And far more than me, they embrace the Father who sent me. They're all kind of scratching their heads. What's he talking about? Because then he goes right into, if your right arm causes you to sin, chop it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. And they're probably going, what? All I want to know is who's going to be the greatest. And I got to hug a kid and stab my eyeball? What's going on? That's not what it's about. He's saying, if you want to be the greatest, then you have a childlike faith and you learn to simply apply the principles of pruning. Listen to what I say, do it. Isn't that what we ask of our children all the time? We get so frustrated when they don't do what we say. Before you get so frustrated and beat that child within an inch of his life, think of how many times God's told you to do something. Have you done it? Oh, everything. Not just, you know, clean your room and I pick up a sock. You know, God says, prune this area. Okay, snip. He says, no, he says, lop the branch off. Oh, God, I don't want to do that. I can't go there. See, God wants us to grow. And when we think of pruning, how many of you do gardens? You like gardens. You don't have a problem understanding the pruning principle when it comes to a garden, do you? I planted some tomato plants, and I thought, I heard all the horror stories, you know, squirrels and deers eating the garden, blah, blah, blah. I thought, so I'm going to plant a bunch of them. I planted like 8 or 12 tomato plants. I had tomatoes coming out of my ears. Never saw a deer or a squirrel or nothing, but I had weeds left and right, baby. I planted some stuff I forgot I planted, and it's coming up, and I'm going, do I prune it or not? You know, I might have been pruning weeds for all I knew at that moment. And all of a sudden, this thing's taking over, and then we had to take a trip to L.A., and when I got back, it was just a mess. It was a complete mess. And I thought about the tomato plant. I thought, we understand this principle of pruning with tomato plants. If a tomato plant grows and a dead brown scraggly leaf is hanging here, what do? You pull it off. You don't go, oh, look at that cute little brown leaf. Coochie, coochie. You know, you don't mess around with it. You prune that baby, throw it in the garbage. It's dead. Some of them have branches that are healthy and strong, but that's all it is a healthy, strong branch, vine, leaf. But I got a pretty leaf. It's even fragrant. My leaf smells pretty and all, but there's no fruit. And God says, prune it. Well, I can't prune that. It's still green. It's not brown. You know, there's a lot of things God's calling us to prune before it gets brown, before it dies, before there's death and decay. And the reason is because he wants to bring more fruit into our life, more blessings. So what do we need to learn about this pruning process? The principle of pruning. The first thing is this, because there's areas in life where God may be speaking to you. Let's bring this home a little bit. How do you prune in your life or in your world or in your home or whatever it may be? Maybe God's calling you to prune in the area of your finances. Oh, wait a minute, we're talking money now. I don't know if we can go there. I tell you what, many of us have struggled with finances, but yet we don't want to surrender to God. And he says, you know, pay tithe and show how I'll bless you. Maybe it's not even about the tithe. Maybe it's about learning to prune and not spend so much in this area and start investing it over here. Do you think that God could give you wisdom and wise advice in finances? Because I think many of us don't. We don't think that God really understands the market or the business world or banking. We got to help him out with that. If that's what you think, then that's not the same God I'm serving, because this God owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He owns it all. He created it all. He can do it all. He can make $1 million, poof, appear right there. And I would love to see that, because it's the closest to me, and so the rule is I win. But I'll tithe on it. And God will speak to you about your finances, what the wisest move is to make. For some of us, it's relationships. We're in the midst of a relationship that's not maybe healthy. It's not right. Oh, but we've been together for so long, but God has been calling you to prune that area. You see, many of us want the benefits of what the relationship gives us. We just don't want to pay the price that there is in developing a real relationship. And God says, you know why you struggle? You know why you fight? You know why you have issues? Because you don't want to prune these areas. Now, am I hating on relationships and saying you need to end them? No. I'm not saying that. Some people would say, well, didn't Jesus come and die for relationships? Yes, but healthy ones. Right, with right motives. The way that God designed it. Because we're going to have to learn how to define that. We have to be able to prune those things that are dead in our lives, and we also have to be able to prune those things that are unfruitful. That's what it's going to boil down to. Let me ask you this morning. Are you in an area where you know God's been calling you to prune some areas, you just haven't done it yet? Because he will not take the next step or lead you to the next place until you do what he's told you to do in this first place. We try to run ahead of God. God says, prune this area. I don't really like that one. Let's move on to number two. It's not like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where we can get like these buyouts and get somebody else to answer it for us or some safety net. You can't do that. You got to walk with him every step of the way. And there's a few principles to learn. And the first thing is this, and it's very simple, but number one in your outlines is pruning is very hard. Pruning's not easy. Now, me telling you what you should prune, that's a lot easier than God telling me what I should prune. Oh, I'll tell you what you should prune. I'll help everyone else out. But when it comes to God telling you to prune something in your life, isn't it much harder? Because first of all, you have to be able to know that it's God that's speaking to you. You have to be able to have a heart that's willing to do it. And that can be difficult at times. To actually do what God is calling us to do. Pruning can be hard. I don't know what you struggle with. Maybe it's an addiction that you have in your life, and you're saying, I don't want this addiction anymore, and God's been calling you to prune that area of your life. Because it's not about the addiction, it's about obeying his voice. And God's calling us to prune that addiction in our life. For some of us, maybe it's smoking, and he's saying, give up smoking. Well, if I don't quit smoking, am I a sinner? Am I a failure? It's not about if you smoked or not, it's about whether you obey him or not. Do you feel that God has called you to do something and told you to do something? If you're not doing it, then it's disobedience. For some of us, maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's relationships. It can be a number of things. But when God comes and says, I want to prune these areas, we've got to remember he's not pruning because he has nothing else to do, so he wants to watch us squirm. He's pruning so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Do you know John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give you life and give it to its fullest? This is how you get life to the fullest. You learn to prune. But I don't like it because that requires cutting. Yes, cutting of dead things. Cutting of cancerous things that just bring death into your life. We have to learn to prune. And I understand this. Pruning is hard. It's not simple. If it was simple, everybody would be doing it. Everybody would be talking about it. We would have banners and posters, you know, prune it. We'd make a slogan out of it. It'd be no problem. But it's not easy. It's hard. Because you're the one that has to live with you. And you have to decide if you're going to do it or not. So how do you know whether when God is coming to prune something, whether he's doing it for healthy or unhealthy? How do you know if you're in a healthy or unhealthy situation? Let me ask you a couple questions. What are you giving to the relationship? You got to ask yourself that. You want to know if it's healthy or unhealthy? Does it require much from you? Do you have to give much to it, much input? Does it require time? Have you shed any tears over making the right choices in the midst of your relationship? That'll help you define if it's healthy or unhealthy. Let me ask you another one. What do you get from the relationship? Is this relationship designed so that it just gets you what you want? Or is it one that successfully learns to meet deep felt needs? Because that's the desire and that's the hope of a relationship and why God brings that in. Healthy, unhealthy, it's important to define the two. If you're simply getting your own selfish needs met and that's all it's about, it's not going to be very healthy. It's not going to be very strong because everything's centered around you. But when you learn to have a relationship that understands it's okay to have wants and desires, but you live for the Lord and you live for others, then all of a sudden, in return, that's going to require you to prune a few things. Life comes back unto you. But it's hard. Pruning is hard. Lisa and I will look at our relationship sometimes and go, I don't know how in the heck we got here. And then we think about it and we get talking and we realize, you know, part of the reason we are where we are is because we decided to prune some things in our life. I can speak for myself and say, there's areas that I had to prune in my life I didn't want to. You want to know why? Because it was fun. And I didn't want to quit. I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to change. I didn't want to grow. But I decided I wanted something bigger than myself. I wanted God's best for my life. I wanted a wife that could look at her husband and be proud. You know what that's going to cost? Some pruning. And I said, God, help me know what to do. And you know what he did? He handed me a pair of shears, some spiritual shears, some, you know, cosmic chainsaws, and said, let's start cutting. And I'm like, cutting? Wait a minute. I said, God, help me, not kill me. And he said, no, you need to die. He said, it's about time. He said, you've just been a big old hunk of rotten flesh, and it's stinking up the place. It's time to go. and I had to prune some areas. You know what? I didn't like that process. You know what? Sometimes I didn't trust that process. I'm just being honest. You didn't trust God? No. I didn't know if I should or not. But you know what? I obeyed him, and I did what he told me to anyway. And I learned that in the midst of my doubt, I can trust him. Remember the guy who had his boy healed? And he said, you know, heal my boy. And he said, do you not believe? And he said, I believe, but help my doubts. You know, it's okay at times to have that heart that says, I just don't know. Well, you're not supposed to have all the answers. You're supposed to have an obedient heart. So if God says prune it, prune it. But it's hard. I know it. I know it. Because true pruning is not going to be, oh, sure, I'll prune that. No problem. Now, you know you're pruning something when it hurts because you're giving. You know, I believe there's so much more that God has in store for each and every one of us, but it's going to require us to prune. In Deuteronomy, it says this in Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. Choose life in order that you may live. I like this because God says basically this. Life, death, choose life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, a caveman can understand this. And if I were in high school, how great would it be if when you were taking a test, they said, okay, pop quiz, pop test, 25 questions, here's the test. Oh, and by the way, here's the answers to the test. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I would have loved high school if that's the way it was. They give you the answers. That would be great. You know, that's what God's doing here. He's saying, listen, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have trials, but here's the answers. Choose life. And he gives us the answer, life and death. And it's up to us whether we're going to follow the command. How do we know if we followed it? Because it's going to require us to prune a few things in life. We're going to have to prune some areas. 1 Timothy 4, 7-8, in your outlines, I put it in two translations. The first one's New King James. It says that we're going to have to learn that pruning requires discipline. This says, on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things since it holds a promise for the present, for this life and the life to come. I like how it says it in the message. It says this, exercise daily in God. Let me just start with the first part. Exercise daily. How many of us do that? How many of us put ourselves through a regime where we're going to exercise? Well, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to sweat and I'll be sore and I'll ache. So if I want to avoid that pain, I'll avoid the exercise. But God says, exercise daily in God. Oh, but that's going to take discipline and work. You bet it is. But when you shake your fist saying, God, where are you at and why haven't you shown up? He's going to say, it's because you haven't been exercising daily. We don't like the exercise, do we? Now, there's some people that like exercise. I'm not saying exercise is bad. Actually, what I'm saying is exercise is good. We just don't like sometimes the process or the pain that's involved in it. You know, Lisa and I told you I've been doing some eating a little healthier, doing some fitness pro stuff, exercising. And we did an exercise the other day that didn't seem like a big deal at first. You know, we took this dumbbell and you squat down and then you raise it up in the air. And then we did the other arm and then we did a few other ones. And I thought, that's no big deal. But 4 hours later, I could barely walk. I don't know exactly what I did, but we were putting something together for Seth in his room. And I'm on my knees and I'm screwing this cupboard together and my legs are trembling. And I'm like, stand straight. Yeah. Everything within me is just trying to stay in the upright position. And my legs are trembling, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could not move. We went to Home Depot or some store like that, and I pulled out my wallet, and a credit card flopped out, and I just stared at it. And I thought, Lord, if there be any way for that to float back up to my wallet, that would sure be great. I tried the whole Darth Vader, nothing's working. I'm like, I'm going to have to bend down and get that thing. And I looked at the cashier, and I mean, I took my time too, because this was a big deal. This wasn't like, oh, I got to bend over. This was like, I might not get back up. And I looked at my wife, you know, as if to say, can you get that for me? She looked at me like, you're on your own, pal. We were both just hurting, so I looked over and I went, here we go. Oh! And I gave my old man grunt on the way down. And I thought, ooh, that just shot out. I didn't even plan on that one. The lady looked at me, and I just went, don't ask. Just gave her my card. I was in pain. My wife was in pain. But that pain was designed to bring forth fruit. I didn't want to do it. As a matter of fact, that day I'm like, no, let's not go today. Jesus talked to me and he said, don't go. I tried everything, but we ended up going. And I like that. My wife has to push me a little bit. I need that in my life. She pushes me and provokes me to good things. And so I got down there. And when I'm down there, I'm great. I'm doing fine. Look at me. I'm exercising. I'm whipping everybody. 4 hours later, I'm walking very gingerly. And up and down was a hard thing. I didn't like the pain that was involved. But the pain was part of the process. It was designed to bring forth muscle, to get rid of that flabbiness and that fatness in my life. As a matter of fact, read on. It says, exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness. I didn't know flabby was in the Bible. Isn't that pretty funny? Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You know, pruning is hard. But there's a process for this. There's a design for this. And the whole design is that it's going to bring forth something much greater in your life. But you have to be willing to prune it. Disciplining yourself is huge. I'm not going to take a lot of time right now, but there's a few verses in your outline. 1 Peter 1:13 talks about disciplining yourself. 1 Peter 4:7, 1 Peter 5:8, discipline yourself, keep yourself alert. The Bible reminds us time and time again to do this. And in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 5:22, it says this. A man named Samuel, he was in a place and he said, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? I don't have time to tell the whole story. But a sacrifice is being made, but not the way God designed it. He said, you wait for Samuel to arrive to do this, the priest. But they wanted to do what they wanted to do. When the voice of the Lord spoke, there was a correction that was brought about and said, what's more important, sacrificing to God or obeying his voice? And what he was trying to bring a correction to was, he said, you chose unwisely. He said, you chose that sacrifice was much more important, but obeying the voice of the Lord is what's ultimately important. And it may bring some pain in your life, but it's going to lead you to this. Number two is this, pruning extends life. Did you know that? You prune something, you will bring more life back to that tomato plant when you prune the dead things away. So it is in life. You get rid of those dead things in your life, you're going to have more energy. You're going to have more strength. You're going to have more creativity. You're going to be a lot more fun to be around. But you have to prune those dead things. Some of you may not know that I used to smoke. Smoking was a hard thing for me. Some people can quit it like that. Some people never pick it up. Some people drink and have a hard time quitting drinking. But smoking was hard for me. I liked to smoke. I didn't like smelling like an ashtray. I didn't like the fact that every time I probably lit up, I was knocking some time off of my life or something like that. I'm aware of all this. I don't need to be preached at. I'm aware of this. But I enjoyed smoking all the way up until I went to Bible college. God said, go to Bible college. I said, God, I can't smoke there. And he said, that's right. Gee, I didn't think about that, Jim. And I was heading to Bible college. I had cigarettes in the car. I was smoking left and right. You know, we're hitting Dallas, and I'm chugging them down like, you know, maybe that'll fill me up for 2 years. I struggled so much because God said, quit it. And I said, I want to obey God's voice, and I'd throw them away. Only 3 hours later, I find myself buying another pack, feeling guilty, feeling ashamed, feeling like I'm not worthy. I can't. Why does God use me? I struggled with this issue for so long, but it wasn't about smoking. It was about obeying God. I didn't think God's going up there, if you light up, I'm gonna put the next butt out, it's going to be yours, you know. I don't think God was up there saying things like that. I think what God was saying is I've called you to obey. This is the next step I've told you to do, Jim. And I know it's hard. I really know it's hard. But I love you enough to tell you that I want you around. Now, I'd love to say that when God spoke those tender words, I gently said, oh, thank you, Jesus, and let go. But I didn't. I kept on smoking. And I finally had to come to a place, when I finally came to that place where I could let go of it, I learned, and I knew this part, smoking is going to, if I can stop that, it's going to extend my life, isn't it? Probably much more so than if I kept on smoking. I want to be around for my wife. I want to enjoy life with her. I want to make her miserable. I want to enjoy life with her and keep her happy as long as I can. I want to be part of my children's life. I want to see my kids have kids so I can spoil them rotten and irritate the parents just like mine do to me. My kids will go over there and Grandpa will pull out $5 for nothing. No reason, just because he's Grandpa and he can. And that's okay because Grandpas can do that. But I said, when you come back home in the real world, you want $5, you're going to have to bleed first, okay? You're going to have to work for it. You see, if I make these points to stop, then pruning that extends my life.
Good example,
now you may say,
Jimmy,
well, your physical life, I can see that. But do you know that it extended my spiritual life as well? I grew more after I learned to apply these principles of obedience. Does it mean I'm always perfect? No, absolutely not. And I hate those times when you feel like you screwed up and you're going, oh, I did it again. But you know what? That's part of the pruning process. Sometimes when I prune my tomato plants and I rip that dead leaf off, I say, here it comes again. Yeah, watch this. And I have to snap it again. You may have to reprune some areas in your life, but it will extend your life. I'm going to skip a few verses there and move on for the sake of time because I want you to catch these points. It will extend your life, and when you extend your life, you'll also learn that when you prune wisely, pruning will bring more fruitfulness. Tomato plants, when you prune them, we understand this with a plant, flower, tree, but we have trouble when it comes to our life. We think it doesn't apply because that's a tomato plant, but the principle is still the same. We have to understand that God is bringing us to a place that when we prune wisely, it'll bring more fruitfulness into our lives as well. What we have to do is when God says prune it, that means this. We first of all have to have an ear that hears him. You can't prune something that God's told you to do unless you've heard God say something. So if you've heard God say something, that means you're spending time in his presence. If you're not hearing God, then my question is, are you making time to be at the feet of Jesus? Spend time in his presence. Read your Bible. Pray. Hang out with God in the car while you're driving to work. Do you think God cannot talk to you? Just shut the radio off and turn on your ear and hear what he has to say next time. Have an ear that hears, but then you also have to have a heart that's willing to obey. Hearing what God says is one thing. Doing it is another. Hearing that it's good to quit smoking, yes, amen, preach, brother, but if I go light up right after that, that doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do me any good at all. You got to stop, prune, cut something. Something has to come to an end. There has to be a sacrifice that is made. And when that happens, it brings more fruitfulness. John 15, 1 through 3 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father, he's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear what? More fruit. Wait a minute. A branch that's bearing fruit, you're going to prune it? Yeah. Why? So it can bring forth more fruit. If you ever had a branch that's just struggling to survive, got some dinky fruit, prune that thing. It'll send life to the other branches that are stronger and healthier. You got something going on in your life with an issue of an attitude? Well, I want what I want when I want it. Well, me too. But we have to learn to surrender that. And when you do, you grow and you learn and you become stronger because of it. Those things that knock you down and knock you around in this world, you wish you could stand steady in, you will be able to when you start pruning wisely all these areas. And it will bring forth more fruit. And when you understand that, then lastly is this. If you can understand, I know pruning's hard, but it will extend your life. It'll bring forth more fruitfulness. And if you prune wisely, you'll become wiser. You'll become wiser. How many of you like wisdom? I'm sure if I asked, we'd all raise our hand. Yeah, I want to be wiser. Don't equate that to knowledge or smarts or having a lot of brains, okay? I'm talking about wisdom that God gives from above, and sometimes we confuse the two. We try to impress people with knowledge. Have you ever met people like that? I mean, they've gone to every school, and they've got every degree, and they say, look at this. See, I've got master, bachelor, doctor thing on my wall, so I am wise. No, not necessarily. You can go to every school. You can go to CCC, U of I, ISU, UNI, OSU. You can get an AA, an AB, an MBA, a PhD, some ACD, and your BVDs. It doesn't matter. You can have a whole long list and still not be wise. But when you learn to prune wisely, you become wiser. Many of us want wisdom from above. It doesn't come from a degree, a book, a teacher, or a school. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to do grants. You don't have to do school loans. All you have to do is get the Word of God and start saying, God, I want to spend time in your presence. Oh, there is a cost involved, but you can afford it. God made sure of that. You can afford it. So when we talk about the principal's office over these next few weeks, we're going to be looking at these principles that we can apply to our life so we can be stronger. We can become wiser, and we can become a people that are more fruitful because we've learned to prune wisely. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word and your spirit. I pray today that as we leave, you would cause our minds and our hearts to just be clicking and thinking about those things that we need to prune in our lives Chances are, when we read the title this morning, something popped up in your mind and in your heart that you know you need to prune already. We don't have to have long sermons and messages, prayer meetings, to know that there's corrections that we need to make in life. What we do need to focus on is this. Maybe as we're here with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we know that there's some areas in our lives that we need to prune. You know it. You just don't feel like you have the strength to do it. You may not even want to commit to pruning it because you're afraid that you'll fail once again. But I can tell you this, if you don't try again, you've already failed. And the Holy Spirit's here today to just simply say this. What is it that He wants you to prune? Do you want to be that husband for your wife or that wife for your husband that loves and respects? But it's going to require you to change a few things. Do you have habits, addictions that you know the Lord wants to prune out of your life because He wants you to be more fruitful? If it's you and you know there's something you need to prune, I'm simply asking this, that you just raise your hand and say, God, that's me and I need your strength. I need your help. God, I'm tired of falling on my face. At least this time when I fall, Jesus, may I know I fell into your loving arms, that you'll set me back up and that you'll set me up for success. That Lord, if you've called me to prune something, I will succeed eventually in your time, but I will not give up. And I'll not give in. I'll keep pressing on. God, you see the hands and you see the hearts. You know what they face when they're all alone. You know what they hear in their minds and in their hearts and their spirits when they're going through the challenges. Lord, strengthen them, I pray today in the name of Jesus, that they can be all that you've created them to be. Not supermen because they got some superpower, but they can just be children of God. And we all can rely on you, our Father. Lord, I thank you. And I ask that you pour forth that into our hearts today. I ask in your name, amen. Amen. I'm going to challenge you with this. Make a pruning list. I started my pruning list. I did this, actually, this morning. I woke up thinking about it. That's pretty sad, isn't it? I woke up and thought, oh, I'm preaching about pruning. I thought, I wonder if I got things to prune in my life, what would they be? And I thought, well, why don't we write them down? I challenge you, Write it down. Put it somewhere where only you know. You don't want to leave it out on your coffee table for everyone to see so you can get all spiritual and tell them what you're going to prune. Keep it between you and God. And listen, God, what do you want me to prune? Surrender that to Him and start the pruning process. Start it. You fall down, get back up. But you'll never succeed if you never start trying. Join us tonight. Will you just stand with me? And as we get ready to dismiss, I'd like to invite you for a service tonight, 6 p.m., Again, make your pruning list, and God bless you this week. Take care.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. I'll go. When you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go.
Thank you. Beside me.